Blog Talk Radio.
That's the beautiful and the soothing music of Christopher Cross and a very classic song called Sailing. Welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble. You noticed that the introduction was different. This is a very different program today. I want you to escape with me. I want to take you to the world of the wind and waves. I'm beginning a live audiobook reading of a book I wrote, much different than all the political and religious and human rights books. Come escape with me. Come with me on a journey with Tara. Today I'm beginning my book, Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Tara. We are all surrounded with the voices, the sounds of violence and terrorism, the political bickering back and forth, and the human heart and soul is weary and is looking for an escape. Come with me, and together we will escape. In my book, Driven by the Wind, Calling of Tara. Preface. I feel so dry and empty inside. There is no rest from the tears I cry. I'm broken and bruised, and I feel I've died, but I have a real thirst that won't be denied. It's the longing. From my song, The Longing. The great apologist and Oxford teacher C.S. Lewis describes in his books that inward thirst that all human beings have for something better in life. He calls it a longing. In his classic book, Until We Have Faces, Lewis writes, quote, "The sweetest thing in all my life has been the longing to reach the mountain, to find the place where all the beauty comes from." Human beings are on a spiritual quest to find satisfaction, an inward longing to discover that something that will bring fulfillment and meaning to their lives. Lewis proclaims, quote, "that if I discover within myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Tara is a book about this quest. Tara is drawn to the ocean. She has an inner urge of belonging to the high seas. Nothing else will satisfy her. She has a longing that on the ocean, her world of the wind and the waves, that somewhere out there are the answers that she is looking for. In her brokenness and pain, Tara embarks on a solo circumnavigation of the world in her little lifeboat, her little sailboat, the Mistral Wind. However, this book is more than just an adventure on the high seas. It's a journey, a spiritual journey, that all of us have taken at one time or another. Whether in a sailboat or a car or climbing up a mountain, we have at one time answered this inward call to discover our purpose in life, to get the answers to our suffering and pain and misery. Do you have a longing, a tugging at your heart? Then, if you do, come along for the journey. This voyage of inward discovery with Tara. Tara got in her sailboat to answer the inward longing, and the God of irresistible love pursued her all over the world in her tiny little sailboat. This is an exciting journey with twists and turns and an ending that you will not soon forget. We all take this journey. We all have a longing. I'm glad that you have come around for the ride. I promise that in the end, you will not be the same. He spoke, and the winds rose, stirring up the waves. Their ships were tossed to the heavens and plunged again to the depths. Their sailors cringed in terror. "Lord, help," they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbor. Psalm 107, verses 26 through 30. So, do not be surprised when I say, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. John chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. Chapter 1, the calling. If I discover within myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. C.S. Lewis. Tara couldn't remember when she first heard the calling, but she did remember that it was like a gentle whisper beckoning her to come to the ocean. It seemed so very long ago when she first heard and felt it. As a child playing in the bathtub, Tara's mother used to put a toy sailboat in the water. Tara would blow on the tiny sailboat and was fascinated how it gently scooted across the ripples of the water. Then when Tara grew older, her father took her to the park, and she excitedly pushed a larger model sailboat out into the pond and watched it sail. She felt the cool breeze blow across her face and gazed at the sailboat gliding across the pond, and she remembered the incredible freedom that she felt. It wasn't until Tara was 10 years old that she first experienced the real freedom in the world of the wind and the waves. Her father took her out on the ocean for her very first sailboat ride and let her steer with the tiller. When Tara clasped her hands tightly around the tiller to steer the sailboat, she entered another world. She remembered closing her eyes and feeling a oneness with the wind and the waves. She felt as if she was gliding and soaring above the waves without a care in the world. It was a mesmerizing feeling of belonging to another world, a feeling of absolute freedom. This was Tara's world, where nothing or no one would ever find her or touch her. She belonged to the world of the wind and the waves. It was at this moment when Tara clutched the tiller with her hands that her life changed forever. Maybe this was the moment where she first heard the call. It really didn't matter because Tara had discovered her world. She had walked through the door to the world of the wind and the waves. Tara had discovered her life's purpose. There was no turning back now. Tara sat up in bed. Her heart was racing away in her chest. She gasped for breath. Cold sweat was pouring down her face. She sat still for a moment and composed herself. It was the dream again. Tara gazed over at the clock on the nightstand next to the bed. It was 4:50 a.m., almost time to get up. Tara took a deep breath and ran her head over her reddish-brown hair. She bowed her head, covering her face with her hands. She looked over at James. James was fast asleep. Nothing ever bothered James. He could sleep through a tornado, Tara muttered to herself. Tara wiped the sweat from off of her forehead and chuckled to herself. She remembered the first time that she went out with James. They went out to the movies, and halfway through the main feature, she looked over and noticed James was snoring. Tara shook her head. Why do I put up with him? The coldness of the hardwood floor tickled her bare feet as Tara sat up on the edge of the bed for a moment. She took another deep breath and stood up, stretching her arms out in front of her. A tiny shaft of light splashed across the dark hardwood floor coming from the bathroom. Tara stood up from the bed. It was much too early to be in a hurry. Her mind was still not awake yet. I love your lighthouse. Tara was startled. She turned her head, looking over her shoulder. James was sitting up with his head propped up against the bed frame. His hands were colded. He had a devilish grin on his face. Tara glanced down over her shoulder toward her buttocks. James was referring to the tattoo of a lighthouse that she had painted on the lower part of her back. She had bravely sat through the painful procedure while the tattoo artist created her favorite landmark just above her buttocks. Composing herself, Tara chuckled and then turned facing James. He had a playful and childish look on his face. Tara quickly sprawled herself back down on the bed and planted a quick kiss on his lips. James smiled, admiring Tara's body. Has anyone ever told you that you have a dirty mind? Tara said amusingly as she glided the tip of her tongue up and down James's cheeks. James affectionately clasped his arms around Tara. Tara abruptly pulled away, teasing him, and got up from the bed. I work for a living, Tara proudly announced with a grin on her face, and then walked into the bathroom. After a few moments, she emerged from the bathroom dressed in just a white towel tied carefully around her body. Disappointed, James had laid back down on his left side and was sound asleep and snoring away. Tara chuckled to herself and quietly walked into the living room and parted the drapes with her right hand. Beautiful orange and purple rays were dancing across the horizon, signaling the beginning of another day. Tara gazed out into the beautiful blue Pacific Ocean, watching the endless ripples of waves. She closed the drapes and quietly turned the doorknob, walking out onto the deck. The soft morning breeze greeted her face and blew the strands of her reddish-brown hair down into her blue eyes. Tara deeply inhaled the salty and familiar air that she had come to love. Tara stood with her hands on the railing and gazed down at the beach from her summer home. The summer home stood just 50 feet from the tall, jagged cliff that overlooked the beach below. The early morning breeze blowing in from the ocean was soothing to her soul. Standing on the deck greeting the sunrise, Tara could feel the call once again. She turned her head to the right and gazed toward the old, tall, white cone-shaped lighthouse in the distance. The old lighthouse stood near the edge of the cliff, nearly a half a mile away from her summer home. Memories of her childhood raced through Tara's mind. Tara's mind wandered back to when she was a child. She would sneak away from home and explore the old lighthouse. She loved exploring old houses and dark and mysterious places and could be gone for hours on her own private adventure. Time was quickly passing by. Not wanting to waste a moment before the sun fully came up, Tara walked back inside and tiptoed into the bathroom, careful not to wake James. This was her sacred morning space. She loved to walk alone on the beach before work and experience the mesmerizing tranquility of the ocean surf. Having James tag along was out of the question. Tara removed the beach towel from her body and slipped into a pair of cut-off blue jean shorts. She put on an old pink tank top and tied her reddish-brown hair into a short ponytail. Tara paused and admired herself in the mirror. Not bad, she amusingly said to herself. Weighing 140 pounds and standing 6 feet tall, Tara was very proud of her petite figure. She worked hard at eating healthy, and at 27, Tara was determined to live her life to the fullest every day. Hurrying out the front door in her bare feet, Tara headed toward the edge of the cliff. Her summer house towered 100 feet above the beach, having a breathtaking view of the pier extending out into San Diego Bay. Tara had lived her whole life in Ocean Park. Ocean Park was a large seaside community of San Diego, California, only 7 miles from the busy downtown and adjacent to the San Diego River. Ocean Park was a tight-knit sailing community that had a robust economy. There were restaurants, head shops, tattoo and piercing shops, coffee shops, and bike and surf shops. The community was famous for their annual chili cook-off every June and drew thousands of out-of-towners every fall to their incredible jazz festival. Tara stood still for a moment and was awestruck at the incredible beauty of the sunrise. Staring at the edge of the cliff, she gazed at the golden beams of sunlight glistening on the choppy waves of the blue Pacific Ocean. The beams of sunlight looked like a golden carpet stretching out toward the horizon. Tara felt as though she had suddenly been transported into another world. Taking a deep, relaxing breath, Tara began descending down the spiral stairs. The Ocean Park community had constructed spiral stairs for the summer residents to give them easy access from the cliff to the beach below. Tara quickly glided down the spiral stairs and planted her feet onto the warm sand. She loved the warm, smug feeling of trouncing her bare feet in the sand. A cool breeze from the ocean blew the strands of her hair across her face. The ominous sound of the ocean waves gently splashing upon the beach on the early morning was an inviting and relaxing sound that Tara loved listening to. It was almost as if the waves rolled in and gently kissed the sandy shoreline. The happy sound of a flight of seagulls filled the early morning sunrise morning air. Tara smiled, watching them fly overhead. It was a beautiful sight that Tara welcomed as she rubbed the sleep out of her deep blue eyes and greeted the day. Tara stepped closer to the ocean waves that were breaking onto the shoreline. She slowly stepped into the water and then recoiled just a bit, lifting her feet out of the cold ocean swirling around her ankles. The rhythmic, soft roar of the ocean waves splashing onto the shore was hypnotic and relaxing. Tara closed her eyes and retreated into her world of the wind and the waves. The cool morning breeze, the cold sting of the ocean waves on her bare feet, and the sound of seagulls overhead quickly tamed her restless heart. Tara had entered the world that she loved and had answered the call of the ocean. When Tara opened up her eyes, she was both shocked and stunned. Her eyes immediately focused upon a tiny dot looming on the horizon. "It's Nathan's sailboat," Tara extremely excitedly exclaimed out loud to herself. "He's finally coming home." Her whole body resonated with anxiousness and excitement. "Nathan," Tara screamed, running out into the ocean waves. And then suddenly, Tara halted, drenched up to her knees in ocean water. She stood still, paralyzed by the harshness of reality. Her rejoicing abruptly came to an end. She turned to her senses and realized the early morning sunlight had played a cruel joke on her eyes. There wasn't a sailboat approaching from the horizon. Her heart sank in despair. The loud cries of seagulls circling above her head suddenly became a shrill and agonizing annoyance in her ears. Tara clasped the palms of her hands over her ears and fell to her knees in the cold ocean water. She wept bitterly with cold water swirling and foaming around her body. Then after a few moments, Tara composed herself and slowly walked back to the beach. The bright rays of the sunrise beamed in her face. She found a spot near a half-finished sandcastle and flopped down. She sat quietly mesmerized by the steady rhythm of the ocean waves gently splashing onto the sand around her feet. She watched the white foam swirl around her feet. It had a soothing tingle, a relaxing feeling, tear about her head. Tears of sorrow streamed down her face. She shook herself back into reality. Nathan wasn't coming home. Tara's mind drifted back to almost a year ago, when her brother Nathan proudly announced that he was going to circumnavigate the world in his tiny sailboat, the Voyager. The Voyager was a 35-foot open 40 racing-style boat with a 50-foot tall mast and the latest navigational equipment. Tara remembered her father was very proud and supportive of his son. Samuel had taught him well and schooled him thoroughly in navigating on the high seas. Tara had also been very proud of her brother. She teased him about the many times that they snuck out of the house together late at night to play hide-and-seek at the old lighthouse. She loved her brother Nathan, and of course, he was the typical brother, always teasing her, pulling her hair and hiding her makeup. Yet in spite of all of his silly brother pranks, she loved him and looked up to him. Tara vividly remembered Nathan waving goodbye as the Voyager cast off from the dock and entered San Diego Bay, passing between all of the tanker ships. The media with their cameras and reporters flanking alongside Nathan, videotaping him from a cabin cruiser, followed him out until he opened up the mainsail and disappeared out into the Pacific. Tara had noticed tears of joy and apprehension streaming down her father's face as the Voyager disappeared over the horizon. For nearly 3 months, Nathan kept in touch, calling regularly on his satellite phone to give updates until that night, the night Tara wanted to forget. Tara remembered her father jumping up out of bed after receiving a call from Air and Sea Rescue off the coast of Australia in the Indian Ocean. They had just received a distress signal from Nathan. Samuel was shocked. He stayed up all night and into the next day. For 2 days, the Air and Sea Rescue plane searched the location in the Indian Ocean where the signal originated. Then 2 days merged into 5, and then a week. There was no trace of Nathan's boat. After 2 weeks, the search was officially called off. Samuel was crushed. Tara watched her father deteriorate in health every day until he succumbed to a massive heart attack and died. Tara lifted up her head. The bright rays of the sun caused her to squint. She slowly raised herself up off the sandy beach. A father and his son raced toward the unfinished sandcastle next to where Tara was sitting. The little boy smiled and laughed with a delight, anxious to finish his masterpiece. Tara smiled back and wiped tears from her eyes. She had one more stop to make before getting ready for work. And that ends our reading today from my book, Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Tara. I'll resume this reading on Monday of next week. I want to take just a couple of minutes to really kind of explain the purpose of this book. I invest an awful lot of time in writing, and I'm very sensitive to the readers. I'm very sensitive to their commitment up to reading my books. And I write human rights books. I write books about Islam. I write books about the oppressive Iranian government. I just finished writing a biography of Rahane Jabari, a very intense, broken, painful story. And I believe at this time, it's time to take my readers into a world away from the evil and the suffering that we're so used to. And I felt that going back to my book I wrote 4 years ago, that this is the perfect time this summer to take you, the reader, the listener, into this world. It is a book of self-discovery. It is a book about belonging. It's a book about a young, independent woman named Tara who has no regard for religion, who loves the world in the wind of waves, and she loves to escape. And so I've invited you along for the sailboat ride of your life. This is not your typical story. It's unlike anything that you've ever read in your life before. And so, for the next several weeks, perhaps right into fall. It's a short book, but we are going to take this adventure together. And we're going to follow Terror out on the ocean as she searches for her brother. But she's searching for something else. Maybe not apparent to her, but she's searching out on the wind and the waves for something even more important for her than her brother. And she's really not aware of it. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. Just like Terra, you want to escape. You want to find that purpose and meaning in your life. Well, if that's you, if you have a longing in your heart and soul, then this is the book that you want to read. You want to come with me every week, and I promise you one thing for sure. This is not about so much about religion or politics or human rights. It's really about self-discovery. And I promise you, at the end of the day, you will be glad that you went on this sailboat ride with me, driven by the wind. I will see you on Monday. We will read again on the cross in the desert. God bless you. Have an incredible weekend.